So welcome to another episode of Swamp Inside Florida Athletics. I'm your co-host, Anthony Beck, along with my other co-host,
Jerry Brown.
We're a concerned fan.
Concerned fan number one, Marcus Davis. How you feeling tonight, Marcus? How you feeling, bro?
Well, I had a semi-good weekend. I'm not going to talk about what happened Saturday until we get into it, but Sunday was great. Jags won. So there's that. Somebody didn't let me down.
That's right. My Dolphins let me down, which is all right, but it happens.
The Con family didn't let me down. They didn't let me down on Sunday. I'll say that much.
Two things. Number one, Jerry, I told you that would happen once they played anybody.
I don't want to talk about it, man. Come on, bro.
But I must go full on Stephen A. Smith I am in no mood. Ladies and gentlemen, this today is one of the worst days that I've had in a long time. I'm in no mood. I'm not used to this. Now, we're going to get into this, but I am not, and I repeat, I am not used to losing to Kentucky. And I'm already sick of it.
Yeah.
This is not the day for this.
Sad time, bro.
Now Sunday, I would admit for me personally, it made up for it for two reasons. Number one, my Cowboys did dominate. But number two, because my parents are Patriots fans, I got to troll them all night long. All day today. But it still doesn't make what happened on Saturday any better.
Look, man, you know, I don't want to have to do this, but I would say Jesus. With the offense being the way it is and the offense being ran by our coach, Billy Napier, every time the offense trots out to, you know, snap the ball, try to move the ball, it's nap time, not nape time. It's nap time.
Nap time.
It's nap time. It is
crazy.
We are in a bad situation, bro.
Shout out King of the North, man. Appreciate the support, homie.
Shout out to your brother. Thank you for coming on, man.
And by the way,
I want to be here tonight, but I guess we'll have to talk about this. I guess.
Yeah.
Monstrosity of a football game.
But by real quick, by the way, King of the North, tell Marcus to get ready for Jay Cargill's debut. That's all I'm saying.
Why are you like this?
I'm just saying, get ready for it. It's gonna be a show. But
I got the edge. I'm good.
You said what?
I got the edge. I'm good.
That was crazy. And you knew it was coming, but that one was crazy.
Yeah.
Look on Christian Cage's face was priceless.
I love Christian so much. He's so good. That was priceless.
But we will get into the debacle of this game.
Mm. Oh, bro. You have to do it. What the hell? You know you ain't watching any of the King of the North. So I don't know why you're doing this.
Yes. But we will get into what we call a debacle that happened on Saturday night. Matter of fact, it was more like a funeral at this point. Because. Yeah. The beginning of the end happened went on what was it? Third and eight. Montrell Johnson gets a long gain to convert the first down.
That was it.
Or to get brought back by a penalty.
That was it.
Yep. Yo.
What up, baby? Yo. What's good, homie?
What's good, bro?
Hey, man. I don't want to talk about this game. You get your trolls off all you want, bro, but it's all good. Hey, not too much. Not too much. Y'all got worry about Texas next week, yo. Worry about Texas.
This man is trolling already. Hey, Four minutes in.
Bro, it's what he does.
Yeah, you better hope that Texas don't put a hurting on y'all.
Hey, man, if Texas win that game, all I'm going to say is don't worry about what Chris got to say on the pod Friday. Worry about that.
Hey, at least he a loyal fan.
Oh, brother. We'll see y'all. We'll see y'all in the conference. All right. We'll see what happens next year and the year after that.
Ugh. Y'all don't punk out. But yeah, the beginning of the end happened on that holding call. And me personally, I don't know if it was holding, but you know, that's just me. It was a couple of questionable calls, but it doesn't negate what Kentucky did. Because we couldn't stop Ray Davis to save our life.
No, we couldn't. Nope.
We couldn't hardly run the ball. And because every time we did and we busted out a long game, it was brought back by a penalty.
Sounds about right.
You allowed Ray Davis to have 280 yards rushing alone.
It was bad.
And honestly, a lot of it was due to poor tackling. We came into this game with a total of 27 missed tackles all year.
Mm.
We had 19 in this game alone.
We did.
And not even the missed tackles, right? The fucking offensive line blew us off the ball every damn snap.
Every snap.
You could have drove trucks through all them holes right there was running through, and he just did the rest of ran through shitty ass arm tackles, man.
Yep.
Make it so bad. One of how many passing yards they had? 69. Nice, ain't it?
Not.
That man literally had a Heisman game on us, bro.
Yes, but pause, Marcus.
He put it on our fucking stomach. That's what he did. I'll say it like that. How about that?
Let me read y'all these stats from Devin Leary. His passing them. This man was 9 for 20 for 69 yards.
Man.
The one time the pass defense shows up, what you see on the bottom of your screen right now is what happened.
I mean, did they really show up, or did they just say, fuck passing, we're going to run for 10 yards of good ball? Fucking try the pass.
So they can't stop it. Let's keep doing it. I mean,
not for 20, so. But I'm going to say this. Jason Marshall is looking like the third best corner on the team.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
But I'm going to go a step further. I'm hesitant to even say third.
I was about to say, bro. You should.
He's been like that for like 2 years now. Like after that freshman year, he kind of peaked. In sophomore year, it was just okay. You can use the whole they're not really throwing his waist excuse. Now you can't even say that because don't nobody give a fuck about Jason Marshall like that. They bomb away on his ass every chance they get.
Yeah,
this stupid ass out here tackling people in the end zone. I don't even want to hear. Okay, it wasn't really catchable. He didn't have to grab him. You didn't have to grab him by the damn waist, bro. Just let the ball go out of bounds.
He didn't, but that ball wasn't catchable. You don't call it. If you don't call a penalty there, call holding, not pass interference.
I mean, does it really matter?
It doesn't, because I mean they probably would have called a penalty anyway. But
yeah, regardless,
you fucking tackle them.
You got to get in the lab, man. You got to get back to you got to get back to working your technique, playing with poise.
Yeah,
because it's not looking good for you right now.
I mean, and honestly, man, Jakeem Jackson has impressed me more so than, you know, Jason Marshall this year. I mean, not even close. Kid's instinctive, athletic. It looks like he wants to actually be out there, you know, cares about the game. I'm starting to fully support this youth movement, man. I mean, it's looking bad. It's looking bad.
I swear it all damn season, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Every time I see them, every time I've ever watched a single snap of UF this year, or even heard things coming out of camp, coming out of spring. All damn best players are the players that you really want to build around. Throw fucking 18.
Yeah. All right, let me ask y'all an honest question. Honest question. Do y'all feel like a certain player peaked early in the season and is kind of getting run over now?
Depends. What position does that certain player play?
Linebacker.
No.
No, absolutely not.
All right.
We just had a bad game.
Everybody was just bad all around, bro. No one could get all blocks. No one could tackle that day. Like, no one was good.
And if you read my article on the preview of this Kentucky game, one of the things that I praised this defensive line for, and especially Cam Jackson, was gap control.
There was none.
The minute I write about this, The very next game, Jerry, you just said it. There was no gap control whatsoever. No,
they were those holes are
gaps. Well, yeah, and when you control the gaps, you allow your linebackers to come up and make plays, right?
Mm-hmm. Great point.
They were not able to do that because there was no gap control. They're getting pushed around. And now your linebackers are they end up getting out of position because now your linemen are getting to the second level, getting to them.
Yep.
And your safeties have to be and DBs, they have to come up and make tackles. When your DBs are leading the team in tackles in a game, it's not a good thing at all.
I almost said the name.
I'm not gonna say the name. I'm just playing,
but that brother was back there again.
Go ahead and say it.
I'm not saying no names. I'm not getting texted.
Does he wear the first double-digit number?
Yes.
There we go.
I mean, what are the angles,
Jerry?
Huh?
You're not gonna get a text message.
Oh, I mean, these kids watch stuff, bro. I'm not watching about you.
Just in case anyone's watching this. Text me if you want to. I'm going to just leave it.
All right. We get it.
Put on blast. And you know what? I'm going to go a step further this time, y'all. I'm going to screenshot and post it on social media and tag him.
AB, you're getting real unserious right now, my nigga.
AB, you are 30 years old. Do not do this.
I'm going to do it.
You are 30 years old. You've had the same haircut for 5 years, bro. Look, don't do that.
That's crazy.
You got to learn.
All right, so I mean, I don't want to talk about the defense as much because the defense is pretty much held down there in the bargain.
They have a 280 rushing.
I mean, besides this game, I mean that was a horrible game. That was like
everyone. You can't even single out. Okay, this guy was a lone bright spot. Everybody fucking sucked.
It was just bad, bro.
I can't even say like the scheme stuff because it wasn't scheme stuff at all. You just got fucking blocked.
It wasn't too much of the scheme, bro.
But guess what else happened? Undisciplined penalties reared its ugly head again.
Yeah.
It was almost reminiscent. It was worse than the Utah game.
It's easily worse than the Utah game.
Easily. At least in the Utah game, you felt like you had some sort of a chance to possibly come back. There was no chance of that in this game.
That game was over.
You go down and score and get a 2-point conversion and make it a 1-possession game, you're not going to feel like you got a chance to win.
Nah, bro.
That's the way that game is going.
Not at all. That game was I fell asleep on the game. I'm not gonna lie to you. I fell asleep mid game, bro.
At least it happened at noon.
Yeah, literally.
But the only thing is it ruins your day for the rest of the day.
I didn't let the games ruin my day.
I was over it by like 4 o'clock.
Yeah, bro. I'm kind of getting numb to this now at this point.
Jerry was tweeting reckless. During the game,
I don't know what you're talking about. I was tweeting facts.
It's not reckless if it's factual.
I'll
get into the Graham Mertz stuff. So, Graham Mertz, I like the kid. He's had a very nice little season here. He's not the problem, but the way our offense is set up, and when you get into these type of games where you kind of have to, you know, do something and not just try to control the clock and try to keep James moving. He's not gonna be your answer either. He's a nice bridge, he's a nice caretaker, but he's not gonna be the guy who brings you back and you have to stay in games where your defense is not playing good enough. It is.
I got a question that possibly combats this though. Are we sure it's not the scheme?
It's both.
Because I feel like if we ran a scheme that was geared towards our quote-unquote best athletes, putting them in space, spreading everybody out, I don't think we're having this conversation about him not being the guy.
We're definitely still having that conversation. Let's be serious. Graham Mertz is not the guy. He's fine. He's cool, but he ain't all that.
He's better than we all thought, though.
I'm not saying he is, but I just feel like everybody sees it. We're way too predictable.
It's just that,
Yeah, over and over. Like, everybody sees that. That's the problem. That's why
you run the same things. You run wrong developing plays. Your passing concepts, everybody's in the same goddamn spot, running the same damn routes, and it's all condensed to the short side of the field a good chunk of the time. And ain't nobody getting no separation to even make some of it work. And your running game, it's literally, hand off to the left out of pistol. Motion the guy over. A slow developing hand off to the right out of pistol. Mm-hmm. And you're running, and I love Montreal, and I love Trevor. Trevor Etienne should be the lead back.
Bro, can we please have a conversation? I feel like any possession that you do not give Trevor Etienne the ball, it is a wasted possession unless you get points. Yeah. Let's just be honest, bro.
I very much think it's a pretty significant gap between the two. I love Montreal, but things had to be blocked almost perfectly for him to really be
optimally effective. Exactly.
Trevor, he can make something out of nothing. Like, something that should probably get 2 yards with the way it gets blocked, he'll probably somehow end up with 4.
Yep.
And that's just been a thing he's done all year long.
And that puts Graham Mertz in better, position and situations to succeed. Because Nape went, what, 5 wide on second down of the second play of the game, 5 wide?
Yeah, that's when my play calling thing happened. So the 5 wide thing is – I'm not all that, man. It's just he calls plays with no real feel or no real rhyme or reason behind it. It's just try this play here.
Yeah,
better use this. Boom, run that play like it's Az Madden or something, bro. Like, there's no feel, there's no rhythm.
Nope.
There's no real. I don't know, man. It just don't feel right every time something out there. And when something starts working, he never goes back to it. Or takes him like 2 quarters to go back to it. By the time it's too damn late, you can't run that play anymore because you're in a damn shootout.
Yep.
Which raises me to my next question. It is really about next season.
Mm.
Y'all think the offense coordinator gets hired?
It better.
Yeah, let's get into that. Let's get into that, bro, because he did have a presser today. And if y'all did not watch or see what Napier said, he basically said that he will be calling plays for the rest of the season, which we did expect. If you didn't think he would be calling plays for the rest of the season.
I'm going to stop you right there, Jerry. I'm going to stop you right there. Us three expected that, and a few others.
Yeah.
Yep. What? Not the rest of the fan base.
But he is not going to hand over his play calling duties mid-season. He is not going to do that. So I don't
know. It's not realistic. It's not going to happen.
It's not realistic, y'all. Let's be honest. He's not going to do that. That's hard to flip a whole playbook and identity mid-season. This is an off-season battle that he needs to fix.
Yeah, that is not possible. Y'all have got to be realistic when it comes to that. Like, nobody's going to hire an offensive coordinator in the middle of the season. You have to learn a whole new system. Everybody's got to learn a whole new terminology. You're not doing that. So the fact that y'all were even upset that he said he was going to continue to call the plays this year honestly says a lot about y'all because – Y'all just apparently, I'm just saying, I'm just coming right out and say, y'all apparently don't think before y'all speak.
Yeah.
I wonder if y'all think at all, period.
I will say it's reasonable to want somebody to call plays other than Billy Ray, period. That is reasonable. We all want this, but it is not logical to think that he's going to call those, or he's going to hand over those duties at this moment in time. Like, it's just not going to happen. So we need to figure out what we can do to fix this. Meanwhile,
And I've seen so many people say, oh, he can handle the Russ Callaway since he's already on staff. You do realize that they kind of run 2 different systems, which means different terminology, more sense.
Talking about a disaster. You want Graham Mertz to play like he's been playing, 70% passing. We need to keep it where it is right now and just live and die by it, honestly.
It is what it is this season. Like, this team is very close to the team all of us deep down knew we were probably going to end up being anyway.
Correct. 6-6, 7-5.
I didn't say accept it and just mobile or anything like that. Like, be upset. Like, I'm fucking pissed. Like, I thought we should have had the offensive coordinator, but yeah, last year. I didn't like his offense coming in. But it is what it is now. Just, you made your bed, you got to deal with the consequences at this point. Yep. And fix it as soon as you possibly can.
Yep.
I'm going to quote Denzel Washington for one of his Equalizer movies. When you pray for rain, you got to deal with the mud, too. So, right now we got rain. We got to deal with the mud.
What did y'all think of Napier's pressure overall? Like, did y'all understand what he was basically saying? Or, Kenny, what's up, man? What's up? There's one way we get it fixed. Yeah. You got to take a – Napier's line is, though, we got to take a serious look in the mirror. That's his line, you know.
I hope the calls came from inside the house and he picked the phone up.
Right. Did y'all feel like what he said during the presser? Do y'all feel like, because I asked Marcus, I texted Marcus this early, like while I was at work. Do you feel like somewhat, AB, that what Napier speaks on sometimes is like overanalyzed, over analytical, overly detail oriented?
I do a little bit.
Yeah.
But it depends on what he's talking about also. Like with some stuff, yeah. I do think he gets a little over analytical, especially when it comes to talking special teams.
Oh my God.
That's where he gets over analytical, or even about his play call. Like, but at the same time, there are times where it kind of is necessary when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we all want him to be the guy, and we feel like he is the guy. But we also feel like he just needs to be a CEO and let his coaches coach. And I feel like if you just do that, everything's fine. The recruiting, light years better than what the last staff was.
For sure.
Better. We're getting the talent in. We're seeing it. These 18, 19-year-old freshmen are not normal freshmen. He's bringing in. So we know how good they've been this year and how much better they're going to be. And it lets you know what the kind of players he is bringing in. It kind of lets you know how good the team can possibly be within the next year or two.
And off the field is light years beyond what it was before. Like, we all know Napier's doing great things off the field, you know, recruiting. It's just in the middle of a game, you're coaching head-to-head against Mark Stoops. Can you get over the hump? Can you go into a game, your scheme gets blown up, and you adjust? If you can't do that, man, you're going to lose games.
It is what it is. Like, the thing with Billy is I want to believe he's the guy, and I do like a lot of those things that we complained about for years. Recruiting was in the shitter, and now it's not. And off-field stuff isn't as much of a problem anymore.
Yeah.
But golly, some of these self-inflicted damn rules that he has. Special teams is an absolute disaster. You don't really have a game changer coordinator? Dude, come on now. Let's be serious. What game are we changing?
Bro,
we had 13 guys on the goddamn field and they still scored walking in the end zone. What kind of shit we doing?
Yeah, man.
And don't even get me started. Like, I've said my piece on the whole offensive coordinator thing. That's just stubbornness and thinking you can win your way when it's clearly not going to work. You got to adjust. Because you had a top five pick at quarterback last year, and he looks worlds better in the NFL, where people thought he was going to be super, super wrong.
Marcus, please spit these facts.
And by the way, single-handedly bringing his team back, even though they didn't get it done in overtime. In other words, that's because he didn't get the ball in overtime. Shout out to him for that.
Yeah. Salute.
Yeah, shout out to y'all, man. But like, this game looked half-assed passable because he would just make things happen. You beat Utah, which you really had no business doing, like at all, because he was walking cheat code. And now you have an ordinary college quarterback playing that same Utah team, even with the amount of injuries they had, and they beat the shit out of you.
And this is a thing, too, like what people want to talk about. Like, yes, Graham is being very accurate, and I love it. I love the fact that he's very accurate. But if you look at the styles of play, there were some games that we just absolutely should not have been in last year. AR was escaping sacks because our offensive line was not that great. He was just an incredible athlete. He's escaping sacks, throwing the ball away, getting hit, throwing the ball away, throwing it to guys, they're dropping the ball. Yeah, he had a few misses here and there, but his style was a lot different. So his percentage of completion was, you know, a lot lower. Graham, on the other hand, he'll take the sack. He'll take the sack, and it's a lot different. So you have two different quarterbacks, one very accurate that'll take the sacks, one that's not as accurate, more of a playmaker, and not taking sacks. And you still have the same results. You're losing to Kentucky. You're losing to guys that you probably should beat.
But he's taking the checkdowns also.
He is taking the checkdowns.
Hey, yeah. That explains the 77 completion. And people are out here going crazy because, oh, he threw a nice swing pass. He threw a nice little checkdown. What the fuck else is he throwing?
There's nothing open down the field, bro.
Nothing. It goes like 5 yards past because reasons, bro. We ain't even doing shit. Because the same issues that Anthony Richardson had with stupid route combinations, a condensed route tree, it's exacerbated for him because he doesn't have the physical tools to make it happen. And when he tries to run, he has the athleticism of Washington Carson Wentz. Not the Barry, cuz like I love Graham. I do appreciate what he's doing.
I'll be real with you, man. You disrespectful for that last comment.
That's crazy.
Don't you ever compare this man to Carson Wentz ever again?
Washington Carson Wentz.
Graham Mertz in college is better than Carson Wentz right now.
Hey, chill out, man.
Hey, man, they're both guys that people have questions about. So I mean, it's pretty apropos now, ain't it?
No, that's just wrong, man.
But look, Graham is not bad by any means.
He's not bad. He's just okay.
Y'all sum up that I want to say this, talk about, and it was that offensive line. I'm gonna just say this right now.
Oh God,
offensive line room needs to be overhauled.
I could have told you that.
No, they need to be a complete overhaul.
We don't have talent there at all. We really don't. Whoever said that Damian George was a loss for Alabama, Nick Saban, you lie.
Nick Saban is a liar, bro. This man, people need to realize Nick Saban is a generational liar, bro.
I'm going to also say
that. I think he was doing backflips that he entered the portal. What you mean?
Crazy.
I'm going to also say this, though. And I don't like saying this because I want everybody to make their money. I want everybody to be able to feed their families.
I don't.
Put a single camera on me real quick, right now.
Let me see if I can do this, bro. Hold on.
Can you do this?
Can I do a single camera?
Y'all, a lot of this, but I need more emphasis on this when I say this, y'all. It's time for both offensive line coaches to get the hell stepping.
Can we put a game changer in there too?
Them two. All three need for sale signs on their houses immediately.
I hate to say this.
All the way from Pensacola to Gainesville to do it myself, I'll do it.
Matter of fact, I'll have Jerry call Anthony Richardson like he did the last time when Leah had to get her stuff moved out. I'll help tell him to move them people out their house.
I will help do it. You ain't even got to pay me. I will help do it for free.
Right. Only I got to pay me is in Raising Cane's and some season tickets. That's all. That's all I need.
Guys, give me the Raising Cane's, bro.
Give me Raising Cane's because I've never had them. Pay me in Raising Cane's.
You got to do it.
I'm telling you right now, Raising Cane's is godly.
It was, bro. We were in there eating like kings.
Shit, bro. You should have seen my face, bro. I got my food. I'm down. I'm taking inventory of the fries, the sauce, the bread, the tenders, bro. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Mobile, and it's 45 minutes away. I'm not driving 45 minutes to Mobile and 45 minutes back. Food gonna get cold.
No, bro, you gotta eat it in the parking lot.
I'm gonna eat the parking lot. I might as well go inside and eat inside.
You're gonna be looking like one of them YouTube food reviewers.
Like EDP, bro. Checking that out.
Why would you say EDP? You could have said Keith Lee or anybody else.
Badlands, I don't know.
What's up with you and EDP? Like, what is wrong with you, man?
You remember the Popeye? Well, anyways, it's going for reals. But yes. A few more strokes. Yes.
Marshall is
strong,
man.
Yes. I think I think Jason Marshall's probably the worst CB number one we've had in a while.
He peaked freshman year.
Yeah.
The worst?
So, I mean,
considering the expectations.
Did we not have Marco Wilson 3 years ago?
We had CJ Henderson, though. He was CB one.
And even then, CJ Henderson and Jason Marshall are pretty damn similar.
He's going to be out the league soon at this point.
Who, CJ?
Yes.
Hey, I know, bro. But CJ was nice in college, though. He was clamping stuff.
And then he came here, and then he went to Carolina, and yeah.
That was not good. Kara Elam was also kind of.
He wants to play now.
Yeah.
That's what the Bills actually did him, boy.
People got a little bit mad at me at the beginning when we first hired Napier. I think I actually told y'all, I was like, our offense is very much so eerily similar to Jim McElwain. The pistol formation, using the tight ends that are slow, very similar.
Like that's my thing about pistol. I like pistol. And I liked it when it was a big thing back in like the early 2010s when like Kaepernick was running it in Nevada, and then San Francisco used it with him.
Yep.
But if you don't have good tight ends that actually have real athleticism, and when you're doing these bootlegs, you can dump them down to, and if your offensive line can't zone block or you can't man up and get to the second level, it's going to look really damn clunky. Especially when you just don't have any athletes outside and we don't use them correctly like we do at times, because motion, for the sake of just motion and just getting cardio in before the damn snap, really serves you no purpose. Because Ricky Pearsall running back across forward formation, these little orbit motions for guys who aren't threats with the ball in their hand, unless your
this
name
is not scared. Motion. It's not moving nobody.
No.
Everybody knows that when you come in motion like that, you're not involved in the play.
Exactly.
And we all know what we're doing. It's a slow developing ass play action pass, which I was about to rip the last remnants of my damn hair all over my body out every time we kept doing it when we're down multiple fucking scores. Who are you fooling? The linebacker saying ain't cheating up, playing a run. You didn't even pass it.
Bro, can I put Marcus on?
Put Marcus on single screen, man.
Oh, how do I do this? I don't even know how to get
Marcus. Put me on summer, Gino.
I don't know how to do it. Oh my god.
I mean,
come on, man. I'm hot, bro. Come on. I'm ready.
I don't know how to do it.
Right now, hold on.
Because Marcus needs the floor, bro. This man is absolutely going insane.
Like, bro, I have hashtag thoughts.
Like this, like this is why we keep saying we need an OC though. This is why.
Like we low key thought it after the first Utah game, even.
I'm putting Kenny's comment back up here. He literally says it. It's like a high school offense, which is very predictable.
Oh, by the way, you wonder why I know it? Because my high school did run it.
Jesus.
No, and guess what? I have experience with a predictable offense, too. My first 3 years of high school football, we had a predictable Veer offense.
Oh.
We ran the Veer offense.
Hey, man. That's high school for you, brother.
It's not fun for us wide receivers.
Yeah, when you have 250-pound linemen who can't block anybody, you got to run a little Veer and get some motion on. Meanwhile, we got 310-20-pound linemen who can't block even if they tried.
300 pounds. You know what?
Herman Boone running the Veer offense. Don't run six plays. And it's like, no.
Hey, man, I kept saying before the season, if nothing else, we at least look like an SEC offensive line. I very clearly didn't ever say it. I'm on the screen. Let's go.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Anyway, man, I said before the season started, if nothing else, we look like an SEC offensive line, right? Like, we got size all around. Not a lot of depth, and quite frankly, the recruiting's pretty ass right there on that end, and we have two O-line coaches for no goddamn reason. But I said we at least have the bus factor that we hadn't had in quite a long time. I also very much made the point to say I didn't think we were going to play like one, and very clearly that's panning out correctly now, ain't it? Because somebody here amongst us said people trust Jake Slaughter. Hold up. What the fuck is Jake Slaughter? What the fuck does Jake Slaughter do? And King's a comeback. That's nice. Guy who's experienced. Played a lot of SEC ball. That's cool. Oh, that stabilizes. Ain't a whole lot stabilizing because the bar is an absolute hell. The fifth dimension of Dante's Inferno hell. And right tackle.
Oh, shoot. You got to cook.
Oh, what do I got to say about right tackle?
Every fucking thing.
That nigga got cement shoes like he finna go drown himself in the Boston Harbor, man. What? I ain't never seen nobody with worse feet than that in my life. And where's the functional strength, man? I know you can deadlift 400, 500, whatever. Deadlift a motherfucking defensive end, please. I need to see some actual functional strength at work here. What we doing? Ain't no functional strength. Ain't no good footwork. I see motherfuckers bending the corner on everybody. You out here running around Humpty Dumpty. Ba-doop, 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 ba-doop. What the fuck in the stance, please? Ain't no snap count. Get to a second level because that's what this offense needs to do to be any kind of effective.
Oh,
back to the offense like I was saying before. Yo. All right, good. So if you're a linebacker, your first instinct is, you know, play the run, right? That's why play action is a thing. When you're down multiple scores, who the fuck is getting fooled by that? Is any linebacker coming up playing the run when you're down multiple scores? And no one is fooled by this. Your pass play is already slow developing as hell as it is. I don't need it being 7 seconds longer. Like, dude, you get the ball. Okay. Non-threatening white boy. Come over. He's over. He's in orbit or whatever. What?
No. And Damian George is already getting beat at this point.
Looking. Everybody's running the same route. Oh, shit, I'm sacked. I can't run. I'm down. Loss of 17.
Every time. Every single time.
And now that's happening. Caleb Douglas is out. So you got to have Gene Mizell, all them. Just use the kids, man. You might as well. Because who the hell else is going to run routes?
Because guess what? When Andy Gene got out there, he cooked.
Where the fuck was Trey Wilson?
Oh, they lied about him.
Put me back on the screen. He I got some.
Put him back.
Hey, he about to cook. He about to cook.
Yeah. I'm about to cook with this one. This is the shit right here. You know, just pisses me off. Because you put him on the depth chart, listed him as a starter. If you had no plans on playing him the entire game, why would you list him as a starter?
Dog.
You're not giving teams something to think about when you do that. If he's able to play, you list him as a starter, put him out there. I'm pretty sure he would have made a difference in the game.
Yep.
Scratch that. I know he would have made a difference in the game.
Facts.
Like, you have no business doing that. Like, that, I'm going to just say, that is malpractice. You don't list somebody as a starter and then not play him. And if I'm Trey Wilson, I'd be pissed about that.
Yeah. Because that conversation had to be had.
Had to like be.
You're not going to do, like, you're not fooling anybody. They're probably sitting there thinking, oh, he's listed as a starter, but, I mean, they did say Payne Towers. We're going to bet that he's not going to play. Probably didn't even prepare for him to play. So I don't understand doing that. Stop putting guys on the, stop listing guys on the depth chart as starters and then not playing them. Don't do that again.
Yeah, seriously.
You list him as a starter, he better be playing. If not, don't put him on there. Don't put him on the depth chart. Put him down low where the injury report is and put either questionable, doubtful, or out.
Like, we got like 700,000 million coaches worth of 300 from the fucking Sparta as coaches out here. Which one of you tiddlywink motherfuckers is in charge of the depth chart?
Dude, I have numerous questions. How can you week by week see these minuscule details get screwed over game by game?
You know, it's funny. When I was playing in high school, I had a coach who'd always say this. The little things.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need here. Little things. When you hear that, you think, when you first hear it, you think, oh, they're just little things. I mean, it's not going to be much. It's not going to have much of an effect. That's a damn lie.
Like, bro, come, little things turn into big things when you never address it. Like, this is something we all know in life, and not even just football.
Yeah, it's not even just about football. You're right. The little things in football or in any sport will lose you games if you don't do them correctly.
And the worst part of it is, this is a coach that preaches accountability, integrity, this, that, and the third, and every single presser he has, and every single coaching cliche and word salad toss that he does. Too many little mistakes happen on special teams in preparation, in offensive construction, just pre-snap, having multiple 13 players out there and still they score. So you're not taking care of the little things, and you coached, you prepared, and everybody tackled like they had little things.
I'm about to cook a little bit. Damn. I'm probably going. Hold on. All right. Essentially, why do we practice?
It's supposed to be to get better.
If the same thing happens week after week, if you continually have issues on special teams, if you continually put out terrible offense. Y'all, we have not had a competent showing of offense. Like, since really McNeese State, you could say Tennessee the first half was solid. After that, it was trash. It was trash. The second half of the Tennessee game was trash. We have not had any offensive showing since then, right? And then Napier says this thing, right? I love you, Billy. I think you're a wonderful guy. But self-reflection, taking a look in the mirror is key. Did you not look in the mirror when you abandoned the run game against Florida State last year?
Like, you started throwing the ball all around the yard when happy receivers are in the hospital.
You were throwing passes to Jordan Pouncey, bro. Like, let's get real. Like, what are we really doing?
Like, bro, what is the process? What's going on? You running a Jonathan Oldham half the time, bro. Meanwhile, you're running for over 200 plus yards, and you stop. Why would you stop? And then you come out. Nobody knows the next year against Utah. No one knows the snap count. No one knows where it's supposed to be on special teams. Okay, first game jitters, whatever. Fast forward to now, it's still happening.
Lack of preparedness, bro.
You know what they need? We all know what the definition of insanity is, right?
Yep.
Same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. At this point, this just ain't being insane. This ain't clinical. You being a fucking idiot. I said it.
I got to bring it up again, y'all. I got to bring it up again.
What are we doing?
Quite frankly, bro.
Like, what are we doing? Like, and it's another thing I want to bring up that happened during the game. We all know about the special teams issues that we've had this year. We know about it. But I'm a little bit upset about one thing. Now, we get called for a leaping penalty, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got something to say about that for one reason. This is a hypocritical rule. Let me explain why. So you can't leap over anybody to try and block a field goal or a kick or anything because it's a safety issue, right?
Yep.
Explain why anybody else with the ball in their hands can leap over, can hurdle over players. And that's not a safety issue. And it's not a safety issue. If you're going to call it a safety issue for one side, it needs to be like that for everybody.
Here's why I'm going to let you finish, but here's what I'm saying about that. But I don't fucking care for one reason alone. As the coaches, as a game changer, you're supposed to know these things. How do they not know that you're not supposed to do this? You're supposed to coach that. Bill Belichick knows like every single damn like playbook, every like rule in the book. He knows every single damn loophole possible. He knows every single paragraph G. Section 1.70, whatever the hell. Aren't you supposed to know this as a coach? Ain't you supposed to be prepared? Maybe don't even start. The point is preparation. Did you not know this? Or were you incompetent? Or are you just really stupid? Which one?
You're right, Marcus. But see, this is where I'm going with this. If you can hurdle over players as a regular ball carrier and it's not a safety issue, you honestly should be able to leap over players and block a kick.
Because they're basically still.
It needs to be vice versa. I feel like people, they say, I feel like the rules committee, they really need to look at that. Because it's honestly not fair when you think about it. You can hurdle over players, but you can't leap to block a punt.
I mean, NFL does it too. I don't fucking care. Know the rules. Prepare for them accordingly. Tough shit. See,
this no, it's not. You can't. We can't say that anymore.
There are so many rules in every sport and everything that we know that probably are kind of dumb, but that's what it is, and you prepare accordingly. As a coach, that's your job. I don't care about all the why this, why that. No, I'm putting the agency back on the staff and back on everybody. You have to know situation. You have to know what you can and can't do because this is not some newfangled thing. This has been in the rule books for as long as I can remember. It's always been there. Deal with it.
You know, it wasn't for a while. They only put it in there because I guess somebody got hurt. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. We can't even do that no more because if it's going to be a safety issue, there should be no hurdling, period. Or if you're not going to care about it, it just needs to be the same. Either you can do it for all phases of the game, or you can't. That's all I ask. Either you can or you can't.
I can see where both of y'all coming from.
I can see that, but then again, no one told you to give a big ass run right after that because they were on their own 10-yard line. I don't fucking care. Tackle.
Yeah.
Get off the field. Do it again.
This is like a soft mindset, man. Like, we got just punked.
Like, you gave it up, and you just out there just, oh, shit. We're screwed. We're not going to tackle them. Okay, Mr. Ray Davis. Time to bend over and take it again.
And with that, we have officially been canceled because Marcus doesn't realize we got baby watching this show.
What was the whole – I mean, excuse me if I'm wrong, but I think that the celebration with the little stick thing is kind of corny. It wasn't corny. I didn't like it. Not when you're down that much, at least.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bring that out. Like, if I was a player and we scored, we're down that much, I'm not like, don't even give me the celebration thing. Let's just get back out there and try and get a stop.
Yeah.
The game has changed. There's only a few old school coaches. Stoops is one. Yeah. And but even then, he makes his little adjustments in the within the game. He still does it.
Yeah. But I mean, we can argue though, man. If Napier doesn't get an OC, I just can't see his style of play beating Stoops.
It's gonna be no one of any significance whatsoever.
Yeah, I can't see it.
I don't know now.
Unless DJ Lagway is everything we want him to be and everything that everything says he can be, ain't nobody doing this shit. But that depends a lot on a young 17, 18-year-old kid coming in and doing this thing. I don't want to put that type of pressure on. I want to help him. I want to help him grow faster. I don't want him having to struggle to make chicken soup out of chicken dog shit.
Yeah.
Facts. I want something that he can step into, or anybody's going to be on the center for the next however long step into, and be like, okay, the game is easier for me. These formations ain't as condensed. I'm going to throw into converted defensive ends. I'm throwing to real athletes. These athletes that I'm throwing to, then that we have and that we're apparently recruiting, are actually being used in space where they should be and being able to run free. And I don't have to worry about my offensive line getting beat them off the snap. I don't have to worry about guys, you know, not knowing the snap count. I don't have to worry about every time we have to, you know, sell for three, okay, whatever. No one has the correct jersey number that they're supposed to be wearing out there. Just little shit like that. I don't want to put that on a bunch of kids. I don't.
Now, and by the way, speaking of Lagway, guest of the show, it's clear as day he should be the number one quarterback in the country. I'm just leaving it at that.
Oh, yeah.
31 touchdown pass through, what, 5-6 games?
I don't care about the Ravens, bro. I don't care.
It doesn't even hardly play in the second half. They put points up in the first half, and it's a wrap. By the way, another 8 touchdowns in this last game.
I know it is what it is, though. It is.
But, I'll say this, though. If he hires an offensive coordinator, what are some And I'm gonna just go ahead and for reference right now. We're not even gonna mention Sean Lewis because there's no way he's gonna be a coordinator next year. He'll be a head coach. So we're gonna just completely disregard his name. Top three guys you would call if he would hire an offensive coordinator. Or just say what – if you don't know the name, just say what school you think they're at.
I wanted O'Connor from last year, to be honest with you.
You said what?
I wanted a dude from Coastal Carolina last year. That's all right.
Yeah, Willie Corn.
Yeah, I wanted Willie Corn.
Willie Corn. Willie Corn. That would actually be a great one. That would be a great one. Really –
That's one name on my list.
In a perfect world where we didn't have to worry about hiring new coaches and whatnot, and if somebody actually knew what recruiting was, Brian Johnson would still be here. Little ass.
Hey, how much you trying to pay to get Colorado's OC though?
Jerry, I literally just said we're not going to mention him for one because he's going to be a head coach next year.
He's
going.
How much are you paying?
He's going to be a head coach next year. Even if he's not at a Power Five school. He's going to be a head coach. There's no way he sticks being an offensive coordinator.
No,
I know we don't want Riley Jr. at Clemson.
I mean, the offense isn't terrible, but it's just that they do some weird stuff at the worst times.
I'm gonna say this: there's another name at Clemson that's not even on the field that I would take.
Who?
Just like.
I take him all the year every day, personally.
Currently an analyst at Clemson right now.
He was when they had two coordinators, he was the best one. I don't know about Tony. Tony Elliott was just
Well, Jeff Scott was calling the play.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about that.
I don't think that could
happen. What is he doing these days?
He's at Carolina, isn't he?
That's the thing. No, I don't think he's in Carolina no more.
No, he's probably not.
I don't even know if he's in the NFL anymore.
I don't think so.
Because I thought he was in Buffalo, but Ken Dorsey's calling plays there.
He's the quarterback's coach of the Bills right now.
Wow.
What?
He's the QB coach in Buffalo.
Oh, so he is still in Buffalo. Okay.
Yeah.
So him and because Ken Dorsey's calling plays for them right now. So
I'll take Joe Brady. Fuck it. They did like their offense was like they ran a lot of slants and things like that, but they ran a lot of cool stuff behind it and did a lot of really cool window dressing in their passing game concepts. And yeah, a pimple accurate quarterback who could make things happen. The running game was pretty diverse. I'll take him.
Yeah, I mean we need an offense coordinator that's gonna be able to help us play complimentary football, of course. But we gotta put our defense in better situations. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. So
I don't think he'd want to come back to college, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't think he goes back to college. I mean, you've been in the NFL the last few years. At this point, you want to stay in the NFL.
Yeah.
Any college football analyst that you would ask if, hey, would you come be my
I just named one.
I'm talking about another one.
Well, you can't really – because there, I don't think there's another big name that's an analyst.
Really?
That's probably the only one. No, Jerry, no.
What were you gonna say?
I know exactly what he was gonna say. No.
Nah, he would literally purposely like cause our downfall.
There's no way he would come back. No.
No, I'm kidding, bro. I'm kidding.
Back.
Marcus, think.
Think, bro.
Does his last name rhyme with Lazio?
No.
Shout
out my brother Hayden for that one. For the law. Hey, shout out Big Brady for that one. But anyway.
Think.
Analyst.
Think.
He's not talking about an analyst at a school. He's talking about a college football analyst.
Jerry, I'll fucking kill you.
I didn't get it at first. Kenny, this is why we say not just anybody.
The last time y'all said just anybody, y'all hired Doug Nussmeier.
Oh my god.
Hey, even Mike Bobo can come back to the school that fired him. So things happen.
Do that, yeah, that's Marcus. True.
Marcus, why would you do that to me?
I'm just saying, you say anybody. That's why you don't do just anybody.
I need to look up.
You didn't have to bring Joe Nussmeier up because once he got fired from Florida, I still had to deal with him for 3 or 4 years afterwards because he was on my staff in Dallas.
Yeah, you sure did.
Tough break.
What do y'all feel about Charlie Wise Jr.?
No,
Charlie Wise Jr.
No,
anybody with that name on my staff at Florida.
Hey, we had Charlie Wise before, bro.
Yo, anybody off SC staff want to come be a coordinator?
You do realize Lincoln Riley's calling the plays, right?
I don't give a shit. The plays.
At least they're around some offensive competence, though. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on, because Marcus don't get it. I got to bring up Garrett Riley again.
There's plenty of guys don't call plays and end up being good coordinators. It's not a prerequisite to having to be a good one.
Yeah, but when you're literally not calling the plays.
Because a lot of head coaches like being arrogant pricks who like calling their own stuff.
That's true.
They're playing guys who set up the actual concepts for the week, guys who set up the goal line shit, like things like that. We're not doing name brand things here now. We can't do all that.
That's Gary Jr.
We cannot do that.
I'll say it like this. To quote the great Slim Charles from The Wire. See, a thing about the old days, they the old days. We can't be reaching back for any single link to the past, guys. You gotta move forward here.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Man, it's tough. It's tough, but we got to get into this Vanderbilt preview about to hit the hour mark. So,
thank God we're doing this on Playfield no more because good guy would have bent this over.
Yeah, bro. I'll go ahead and give my prediction of the score. I like us 24 to 13. The late score. 24? Possibly.
I say 20.
20 to 13?
20 to 10. It's gonna be ugly as all hell. Well, actually, no. Nah, it's in the swamp, and that's like the only place that this Gary team looks like they actually want to play in.
That's true.
I mean, we'll see.
I'll say
38
to 14.
AB, can I ask you a question? No. Where are we getting 38 points from, bro?
Marcus just said it. We seem to want to play well at home. So I figured they're at home. They play well.
Yeah, but their offense at home is like a moldy sandwich with turkey being better than no sandwich at all on the road.
Right.
Hey, even though it's McNeese State, if we can somehow score 49 on them, then, hey, anything's possible.
That defense was nasty, though, bro. They were awful. Like,
hey, bro, come on now. We can't do that.
They stunk.
And Vanderbilt's is much better?
They're a Power 5 team.
They're Power 5, bro. We couldn't score 30 on Charlotte. What makes them score 30 on
Toledo? We didn't do shit against Charlotte, and your big copium was, they didn't really practice well. They didn't prepare well. Fuck that!
I'm telling you right now, they really did not practice well that week.
What were they looking forward to?
What was doing this week? Playing tiddlywinks and doing cooking classes in Cotillion?
This week, I would say it was more just execution and missed tackles. I mean, because they practice well, it's just when you're missing tackles and you're not executing offense, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster, especially tackles. The first couple missed tackles you saw, you were like, yep. Everybody was thinking this, yep, this is going to be one of them days.
Yeah, I thought that too.
You practice how you play, and clearly they didn't practice all that well if that's what it is. Because they clearly was not hitting that damn robot tackling dummy that every team has now. And it showed.
I mean, it is homecoming. It is the homecoming game. This game, so
okay.
You know,
how about we take some shots down the field?
About homecoming in college, though. Like, let's be serious.
Like, what do they do for that? What I want. Besides the parade,
homecoming is a bigger thing in high school than it is in college. I'll down it.
Yeah, because in high school you had a homecoming dance. You had a homecoming king, queen, by the way, I was on the court.
That's not nice. Like, why are you doing it? What are you doing in homecoming at UF right now? Going to Salty Dog on Saturday night, like what everybody already does?
They're having Gator Girl, I think.
They're going to Balls. Yes, there's a bar called Balls. It's shambolic, I know, but you know. Yeah, that's pretty much what you're doing. Because you're not having a like, this ain't high school. You're not having a dance.
Shit, I went to my dance. I ain't do shit. I don't know.
Hey. Yeah, ain't nothing to do, bro.
Bro, I sat in the cut and just waited to go home. That's the place to go.
This man went to the homecoming dance just to stand on the wall.
I went to prom to do that.
Look at that, too. That's on the couch and chill.
Yeah, bro. That's because what?
Y'all don't have dates?
It's a high school.
I didn't give a shit about that. Plus, ain't like I'd left Indiana.
I'm leaving here with something.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on your arm. Just,
who cares?
Yeah, like me, but you know, let me stop.
Be a serious person anyway.
I mean, I do think they'll play better because we've seen it all season. They play better at home than they do on the road.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. So, which scares me about the South Carolina game now that I think about it.
I do not look for it. I don't think it's going to be fun.
That's going to be a rookie now because playing in Columbia, bro. Ugh. It's going to be hell.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of nasty.
This team is just not. This team is not equipped to play on the road. That's the part where being a bunch of freshmen and sophomores is kicking in because these dudes do not play good on the road.
That time was announced. That game is going to be at 3:30 on the SEC network.
Nasty.
That's going to be bad.
At least it's not a night game.
So nasty. It's
not a noon game.
I mean, you start getting the pressure off way early.
It's in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was around the same time last year when we played them. I went to that game, but you know, still around the same time. It was about 4 o'clock last year when we played.
Yeah, but it's just AB. We know that game is not going to be fun, bro.
It's not going to be fun.
But I do think if Napier wins that game, that'll do wonders for him because he needs to get a road win like bad.
Get something. Get some mental confidence back, bro. Yeah. Get some momentum going.
Now, and the one road win he got was against – who was it?
Like, that road record is fucking atrocious.
Was it 1-7 or something?
Who did we play on the road last year that he won?
Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's
because Anthony Richardson decided to freaking – have a masterclass.
Yeah, it was Texas A&M. That's the only road game we won. So that getting a road win against them would be one. But we got to focus on Vanderbilt first.
We are 1-6 on the road, everybody. 1-7.
But I do think playing at home, they will play better. I know that what I was told, that team is highly pissed because they know that they could have played better against Kentucky and they just flat out did it. So I think this is going to be a week where I think this is the week they get back on track. They get back on track, and I think what I hope to see is more ETN, but just get back to your identity. If you can run the ball early, just stick to it. Just run the ball and bludgeon them.
Start fast. Do not start slow. We need to start fast.
And this is the other thing. I'm glad you said that, Jerry. I'm so glad you said that because I want to bring this up too. Did y'all notice that when we did score against Kentucky, we used tempo?
Oh my gosh, bro. Oh my gosh, dog. I can't even, bro.
Y'all didn't notice that, right?
Yep.
It works. It works. Our tempo works. We just don't use it. It's terrible.
You have to use tempo at this point because – you just said it works.
I believe tempo should be utilized every first possession for us, no matter what.
And the crazy thing is, do y'all notice the offensive line actually plays better when we do it?
Yeah, they play better with tempo, for sure. For sure.
You gotta see that on film.
And holes start to open. Well, holes start to open more so for a guy like Montrell. He gets to, you know, operate a little bit better. ETN is bound for a big run, you know, up tempo. It's just, it works out better. You have quicker passes.
No one is fooled by this stupid ass, just be real methodical and motion it out, these long development plays. No one is fooled. You're not motioning and tricking anybody by doing this because you don't have the horses to be doing all that. Run fast, tempo, take the thinking out, and just rock and call it a day.
Yep. Exactly. Press Y, double tap Y, keep it going, run the ball.
Exactly, bro.
Kenny, I'm sorry, man. I agree.
I don't disagree with that at all, actually.
I don't disagree.
I don't think I'm going to lose or anything like that. Like, I don't.
So, I mean, like, if we were to lose, you know, just saying, what would that do, like, for y'all in terms of, like, Billy? Like, as far as y'all's trust, how much would it decline? Yeah.
Execute Order 66.
Yeah. I agree, man. I think this is just a must win. Like, you can't lose this game.
I mean, every game is a must win, but you really, 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 really can't lose to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you can't lose to Vanderbilt 2 years in a row, bro.
That's embarrassing. This isn't baseball.
Even basketball.
Christ.
Speaking of basketball, they're on the court practicing already. That's because nice. It starts next month, actually.
I'm lit.
Cool.
Pretty soon, we will get a couple of basketball guys on. To preview basketball season, we do have that in the works. Talking with a couple people now, seeing they want to come on. Mike could get Jacob on because covering basketball, yeah, he's like that with the basketball coverage.
Hey, I'm excited to see what we got in basketball court, bro. I mean, really.
By the way, number change for Riley Cool. He is no longer wearing number 24. He is now wearing number 2.
Number 2? Oh, let's go. Let's go.
He's wearing number 2.
It's lit.
It looked like he got more tattoos. So, he looked a little bit different.
He in his Trey Man bag. I respect it.
Speaking of Trey Man.
Oh, yeah. Future Boston Celtic. Hey.
Yeah, no. No, absolutely not.
But, anyways, man, y'all have any, like, thoughts, final thoughts about the Vanderbilt game or anything like that?
Just fucking win, please. Look like you give a damn. Actually prepare and practice this week, guys, and don't pick anybody lightly. Maybe.
Since then, I don't think they took Kentucky lightly. They just didn't play well.
Well, if you're going to not take them lightly, actually don't play like shit. How about that? Either way.
Whatever it takes, get the win, please. Because I'm going to be there. And if we lose that game and I'm there, bro, like, I'm going to be sick.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Jerry.
Bruh. I can't take it, bro.
You going with your parents?
I'm going with Leah.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's going to be a rough car ride.
That's going to be tough.
No, it's going to be a great car ride because we're going to act just to get a win. And for the most part, the fan base on Twitter, some of them will be
Amy, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. This is to all the Gator fans on Twitter. Stop.
I'm gonna go a step further. Get a fucking job.
Get a job.
Yeah, that's your word for the day. Job. Job.
Get a job.
Y'all flat out don't have jobs.
Get a hobby, dude. Spend some time with your family. Like anything besides argue with people that you're not gonna actually fight in real life.
Yeah, like this setting up phase, like stop. Do y'all really want to be a part of that? Do y'all really want to do that?
It's ridiculous, bro, and it's so pointless. I mean, there's nothing that comes out of it. Look, we are all passionate Gator fans. We all want to see our teams win.
I'm glad you brought it up because it has to do with a certain coach couch. I'm gonna put the camera back on me.
Yeah, go ahead. You got it, bro. That was nasty.
It was a little.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We got some real deal assholes in our fan base. For y'all to be sitting here sending death threats to coaches or to people in general over a football game, tells me that number one, you're living in your mama's basement. Number two, you don't have a job, so you have nothing better to do. Number three, you're cowards because all this stuff you're saying online to these coaches, I bet you wouldn't step up to them and say it to their face. Matter of fact, I know you wouldn't because you'd probably get your behind whooped.
That's a fact.
Because it's going to be on site when it comes to when it comes to the team defending. The team going to sit there ready, be ready for you. Like these coaches, they have families, man.
Yep.
So when you're sending death threats to a coach, this ain't just about it's not just the coach that's concerned. Now you got the families concerned because who's to say that they won't knock one of them upside? Like y'all gotta think about the ramifications that y'all doing. And it's gotten to the point where now the FBI and the FDLE are now investigating this.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Oh my God.
That's the rumor out there. And if it's true, you can delete the tweets. You can delete your account. They're going to find it, and they're going to find you.
That's crazy. That's what
you put on the internet, even if you delete it.
It's out there.
It stays. Yeah. It's forever. The internet is forever. Like y'all don't get it. Like y'all need to be better. Y'all got to be better. You got to be better. Because it's no place for that. It is absolutely no place for them.
There just isn't, man. Like, if you're doing this stuff, you have no sympathy. You're not empathetic. And to be quite honest, like, you take this football stuff way too seriously. I understand, like, having a passion, loving the Gators. But, bro, it is not that deep. It is not that deep. Like, let's be real.
It's a game at the end of the day. It's not going to affect your daily life.
And if you let it affect your daily life, like, seek help, honestly. Grow up. You got to grow up.
You
got to be better.
Grow up and seek help. Seek Jesus. That's what you seek.
That part. Take care of your mentals, please.
Please. Just flush the game out and call it a day. Don't stress people, y'all. That's not cool.
What is this, week six of college football?
Yeah, and you got fans going off the rails sending death threats. Like, what are we doing?
Look, y'all, we got eight more games. All right, just please calm down. Thanks.
Like, just be better, do better.
Yeah.
Same time, I don't know if you would, because if you knew better, you'd do better. Like, who's raising some of y'all? Who is raising some of y'all?
Bro, come on now. We
don't got to do all that, but
because obviously. Nothing to say to them about stuff like this. I'm just saying. But be better. In all seriousness, people, be better. Like, there's no way you should let a game affect you to that level. No reason whatsoever. I don't care if it's your favorite team. I don't care. I don't care if you had money on the game and all of a sudden you didn't hit the money line. You didn't win your money. I don't care about that. That's the risk you take when you bet. You either win or lose.
I hate the civil war going on in Gator Twitter right now. I hate it. Like, I get on and try to get my takes off, and then I see a whole bunch of madness. So I'm just like,
it's not fun, bro. It's not fun things.
850 made my dog Devin Witherspoon with a pick six. Already had two sacks, and now he has a pick six. Let's go.
Yeah, we can stop this game now. Anyway, y'all got final thoughts?
None, man. Just win. That's it.
Yeah, just fucking win this game and don't look like a bunch of dumbasses, please.
Find a way to win. At all costs. That's all we ask. Look prepared. Look like you want to win. Look like you want to be there. So other than that, y'all got any more final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Nothing, bro. Nothing.
Nah, not really.
Marcus got me.
I said my piece. I'm flushed out.
Yeah, I'm drained now, bro. I can go to sleep, bro. That was a painful episode, y'all. We really didn't want to have to lash out like that.
It could be worse. Could be 2 years ago. If this happens, we're going to pull what we did 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was about to say this. That's
going to. It's getting nasty if that should happen. I'm telling
it's
you.
It's going to get real nasty, bro.
Get nasty.
And don't pull the – you can't pull the Kirby Smart loss to Vandy. He only lost to Vandy one time.
It's going to get so nasty, I'm going to invite the homie A.O. on here just so we can troll. That's how nasty it's going to be.
That meant A.B.'s going to turn into tea time, I tell you that much.
Oh, no.
I just might.
Nah, I know, bro. I know. I done seen A.B. ticked off, bro.
It ain't pretty.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty.
Y'all know the depths I'm willing to go to. That's something I'm saying.
Yeah. Can we just, you know, man, we have been literally, I feel like our Gator football mental health is going down the drain since we had this podcast. Can we just have one peaceful season?
Just be good. Please. Just be good,
bro. We've had more bad days than good days on this thing. This is crazy.
The good days are just lukewarm as all hell anyways. So I wouldn't call them good.
Yeah, they're not good. They're just like, eh. There's always something, bro. It's like, oh, my God.
Well, we got the song this week.
We're not having a song this week.
We don't deserve a song.
We don't deserve a song. There's no song, bro.
The only song that should be played is Amazing Grace, because that's what's getting played at the funeral after what happened yesterday. On Saturday.
Oh my God.
This man is completely lost.
Oh, we could always play that damn song to be playing them Save Them Children, Save Them Dolls commercials.
In the arms of the angel?
Yes.
In the arms
of pennies a day. You can get all you can scrounge up the money to get an offensive coordinator and you can save Florida Gators football.
Oh my gosh.
We're not starting to GoFundMe for that. Sorry, y'all. I'm just
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying, happy old native right now watching this pick six replay. That we breed ballers down here.
If you did, they'd be at Florida.
Well, the ballers that we get somehow end up being severely under recruited. Then they go to other schools, they fall, and see how good they really are.
Okay, that's anyway. Shilling aside, let's see. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, if we play like that, exactly.
Pain, bro. This endless pain.
Oh, man. Anyway,
what's wrong with you, man? That is unnecessary.
Oh, my God. We are totally down. Necessary. We are down, man.
All right, let's wrap this up.
So apparently we ain't got no song this week. Cause we apparently don't deserve one.
And we damn sure ain't got no Swampers because y'all niggas sucked.
There ain't no Swamper of the Week, bro.
Yeah, not this week. But what we will start doing though, really this is gonna be after wins.
Yeah, thank you, AB.
We're gonna put a poll out for the fans for you guys. And we're gonna pick an offensive and defensive MVP for the games that we win. We're gonna talk about the players, and it's gonna be after every game. So we'll talk about the players, like we felt the top three players we felt played the best on each side of the ball. We'll put them in the poll, and we'll let you guys pick who the MVP was, who y'all thought the MVP was, and we'll let y'all vote on that.
Yes, sir.
we talked about doing something a little different, you know, just to get y'all more involved.
Oh, for and sure.
Leave comments. If you want to leave comments, leave responses of why you picked a certain player. Like, just leave a comment as to why you picked them.
Yes.
That's only two more songs. Oh, we'll get
more. Kenny is out of pocket, bro.
We ain't that down bad, man.
That man is out of pocket.
Like, we ain't that down bad.
We ain't up good either.
We're not up good, but we ain't that down bad.
We're somewhere in the middle.
And by the way, Jerry, since you're a 2K merchant, why didn't you tell me shooting the ball on NBA 2K24 was hard?
Oh, I didn't get it yet. It's hard. It was hard last year.
You want to say wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap this up. I'm mad at you for that, because you didn't tell me. Let everybody know where they can follow y'all burner accounts included, because I know y'all gonna make one if we lose.
Yeah, man. You can follow me on Twitter at jbreezyii, Instagram at jlamont_ii, and I will go ahead and say you can follow me at iambreezyii for my burner, because it may be at use.
Marcus Davis 904 on Twitter, per usual. And Flora keeps playing like this, y'all gonna have to follow me to hell, unfortunately. But I have one thing to plug, though. So, for all my homies out there that know, from all my pro wrestling fans out there, the homies over at my channel, Wrestling Appearance, where I do all my wrestling stuff, we have an interview on YouTube with AEW World Champion MJF. So, y'all go check that out.
For sure.
Definitely going to check that out.
Send us the link, by the way, Marcus, in the group chat.
Yeah.
Oh! We got to get the Twitch page going so we can stream on Twitch also.
Oh, shoot.
We forgot to do that. We'll bring that too. But y'all can follow me on Twitter at AceWade1, on Instagram at Ace_Wade1, ladies, because y'all been following lately. Y'all can follow the podcast page on Twitter at Inside_Swamp, and on Instagram at Inside_FloridaAthletics, and on TikTok, InsideSwamp.
After the Savage performance, y'all remember that girl was crying doing a TikTok to the Mariah Carey joint? That's what we would have been doing after that Kentucky game.
Oh, my God.
I ain't going to never be that down bad. We can lose 50, and I ain't never going to be that down bad.
Yeah, you know you're going to be wiping tears, Tom Muscle. Why are you so obsessed with me? You know what you're
doing. In 2017, we got beat by Georgia. We got blown out by Georgia. I just flat out didn't even care at the first. But I'm like, all right.
You faked that thirst like McElwain did.
Yo, that was not bad.
Y'all know deep down y'all was glad he did it so he can get up out of there. Hold on. Yeah, with that, this has been a painful episode of the Inside Florida Athletics.
Yes.
We're going to leave y'all as we always do. God bless y'all. Go Gators. Y'all stay safe out there. Take care of your mentors. Take care of your loved ones. Tell them you love them every day. Take care of your chicken. Take care of your temple. Wash your face. Wash your hands. Marcus.
With soap. With water. Hot water, preferably. With a loofah. With a washcloth or whatever it is that you prefer, even your bare hands, I don't care. Do it very regularly and very thoroughly. Wash your ass and wash your feet, wash your legs, and wear socks and shoes to the movie theater or any establishment and when someone can smell your feet potentially.
Correct.
That is all.
Don't got time.
Not at all.
Nope. You finna be smelling like the swamp.
Oh my God.
With that,
yes, sir.
All kinds of weather. We stick together.